So, last weekend, I wasn't here. The weekend before, I wasn't here. So, the young people, this is the first time they've seen me in a couple of weeks. So, please do bear with us. Anything goes wrong. They'll be up and down during my talk today. So, last weekend, I wasn't just skiving. I attended the National Youth Ministry Weekend, and it's run by a company called Youthscape. It was a really good weekend, full of worship, prayer, networking, and some fantastic talks. And of course, some great freebies, got some good pens. There was one eye-opening moment of the whole weekend, and it was hearing about some of the research that Youthscape have been doing alongside Tear Fund. And as soon as I heard it, I knew it was going to have to be included in today's service. So in 2020, they surveyed 630 active Christians aged 14 to 19 from across the UK. Over 90% of these young people attend church at least once a week, so attend a church activity at least once a week. The teenagers they surveyed are concerned about the climate and see responding to the climate crisis as a matter of faith. Here are some of the statistics that really stood out to me of the whole research thing. So 92% said they were concerned or somewhat concerned about climate change. 98% have friends who care about the climate change but do not attend church. 84% agreed that it is important for Christians to respond to the climate crisis. And 72% of young Christians have used less plastic in the past year. That one amazed me. I thought that was really good. So when asked, how would you like the world to be better in 10 years' time? The three top answers were less discrimination, reduced poverty, and the slowing of the climate change. So 9 out of 10 Christian teenagers surveyed are concerned about the climate change, but only 1 out of 10 think that their church is doing enough. Over half of the young people surveyed had never had a church or youth leader talk to them about the topic of climate change, hence why I'm here doing this with the young people today. That's either in a one-to-one situation, a small group, or a sermon, which surprised me even more that they hadn't come up in natural conversation. So 66% had never heard a sermon on climate change on a Sunday morning. 37% feel that their church leaders see climate change as something they should care about, but only 9% feel that their church is actually doing something. And to me, they were some really scary statistics, which is why I've bored you all with numbers at the start of the talk. It gets better. What if our young people in this church were part of that 9% who felt like their church did enough? How would that all make us feel? It would be really amazing. And if we were the ones showing them that we did care for their future and this world, I think that would be fantastic. Which is why I'm here talking to you today about climate change. And at some point in the service, we're going to think about how we as individuals and as a church can do things in our lives that will have a positive impact on today's climate. So the young people that were surveyed share they didn't just want to be thought of, prayed for, or encouraged by words. They wanted to be practically shown and given the chance to make a difference in the world. So my first helper is Hannah, and she's got something really special to show us, if it gets off the floor. Yes, take this microphone. I don't know. Peter will make sure it works. If it doesn't, you can use this one. So Hannah, what have you got here?
I've made a octopus and I've named him Preston.
So this is the octopus called Preston. And how long did it take you to make?
Probably took like half an hour because I had lots of time on my hands.
Yes, yeah. A student with lots of time on their hands. And how do you feel about your creation?
I'm quite proud. I didn't realise I could do something like this, so
I'm very impressed with it. And do you want to keep it exactly how you've made it? Maybe your mum wants to put it somewhere in the house for everyone to see.
Yes. I'm very happy. It was very fiddly to do, so I would very much like to keep it this way.
Excellent. Can I hold it?
Yes.
Thanks. I'll try not to cry. Sorry. There you go. So how do you feel now I've destroyed your creation?
Really annoyed.
I'm sorry. And now, how do you feel that it's just a ball of Play-Doh?
Quite upset, yeah. Took a long time on that. And
do you think that I cared about Preston, your octopus?
No.
And do you think that my behaviour just then shows that I care about you?
Not really.
I'm sorry. No. So thank you for Hannah for that. You can go and rebuild that because I'm sure your mum really does want to put it somewhere in your house. So thank you, Hannah. Esther won't be happy that I let Hannah use brand new Play-Doh and she doesn't get to use brand new Play-Doh. So I know Hannah loved what she'd made and that she'd spent time making it, yet I still decided to destroy it. Does that sound quite familiar? We live in a world where we barely stop to appreciate the creation. And we rush from place to place and activity to activity without really looking around at what God created for us. So we're going to read a bit from Genesis 1. It's a very well-known chapter. So God has made the heavens and the earth, night and day, sky, land and sea, the moon, stars and sun, birds, fish and all the other animals. And we're going to carry on from verse 26. So then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all of the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." And God said, "Look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees of your food for your food. And I've given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. An evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So God made all of these things for us to govern it. And put more simply, to take charge of the world and look after it. Do we, as people who live in God's world, in the world God created, really look after it to the best of our ability? Regardless if we do or we don't, this is what God has asked for us to do. Not just admire it and abuse it, but actually take care of it, love it, look after it for him, regardless of what we're promised in the future and in the rest of the Bible. While I was preparing for the service today, I found an apparently famous story, I'd never heard of it, about the artist Leonardo da Vinci. He'd been working on a painting for quite a while. He was quite known for not finishing his paintings. He had a handful of apprentices watching him, hoping to pick up some of his skills, I learned some new things from him. And so he was getting to the end of finishing this painting, and he turned to one of his apprentices, offered him the paintbrush, and said, "Here, you finish it." The student, I assumed quite surprised by this comment, replied, "I could not finish such a great work of art." Da Vinci simply replied, asking if what he had done was not enough to inspire him to do his best. We are often inspired and motivated to do something by what we see other people doing and achieving. We can either respond by saying, "I can never do that," or we can accept the challenge and do our best. But unlike Da Vinci, God is not known for procrastinating and not completing his work, but for seeing things through to the end. Throughout Genesis 1, we see God creating the world we live in. And although God doesn't turn to us with a paintbrush and say, "Here, you finish it," he gives us the skills and the tools to look after it and care for it and for each other. God has made us in his own image, to love and care for the world that he created, to rule over all the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, wild animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground. And then in Genesis 2, we read that the Lord God placed the man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden to watch over it. A God who loves serving us has created us to love serving too. So our reward in our work for the world and climate change should be to know that we are preparing the future for others, for our young people who are running this service today. And maybe our motivation is the smile on our young people's faces as they witness us do this. Maybe our motivation is that they come to us and they say thank you. Maybe our motivation is that we know we're doing this for God and for the world he created. So how can we respond to the current climate crisis? To answer that question, we're going to turn to Esther in the Old Testament, clearly a favorite book of mine. In the face of a crisis, she responds with faith and courage. In the book of Esther, the Persian king makes plans to wipe out all of the Jews. But Esther's uncle Mordecai warns her about the plan. Esther's response to the news of the threat to her people is remarkable. She tells Mordecai to gather people together to pray and fast while they do so. She will approach the king and ask him to reconsider, even though she knows it's against the law and could lose her life. In chapter 4, she says to Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, nights or a day." Oh, I'm dyslexic, sorry. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Esther teaches us that following Jesus requires us to speak up against injustice, even when it can cost us our whole lives. And that we should act from a foundation of prayer. So I want you to invite you this morning to commit to both of these things, to pray and to act into action, so that we can address the huge injustice of climate change and its impact on the poorest people around the world. But what can we actually do? What are some practical points that we can do as church, as whole church, and as individuals? And I've got a couple of young people that are going to come up and share those. Yeah. They were prepped. Ben's first.
Make your voice heard by those in charge. Tell your MP and local councillors that you think action on climate change is important. A prosperous future for the United Kingdom depends on their decisions about the environment, green spaces, roads, cycling infrastructure, waste and recycling, air quality and energy efficient homes. Ultimately, steps to reduce carbon emissions will have a positive impact on other local issues like improving air quality.
Think about how you travel. Is flying necessary or can you get a train? Can you walk to a destination without driving? What's your car like? High fuel economy or MPG tend to go hand in hand with low CO2 emissions?
Slow down.
Maybe take a look at hybrid or electric cars.
And finally, talk to each other. So talk to your friends and families about the changes that you are making. It might be that they don't know you can do something. Hold people accountable. I would like you guys, as the church, to hold me accountable to the fact I will bring a keep cup to church every week. Don't let me use baby brain as an excuse. It's not a good enough one. And share new products that you find with enthusiasm. For any asthmatics that are out there, I've been given a more environmentally friendly inhaler, and I'm really excited about it and happy to chat. So we're going to reflect on some things that we can do. I'm going to bring Hannah back up.
Please take your tea, coffee, and biscuits at the end. And if you have your keep cup,
remember to use it. Father of creation, thank you for all that you have made, for the stunning diversity of humankind, for the beauty of every flowerhead, the abundance of a healthy harvest. Help us to tread lightly and live wisely, remembering our place in the great web of creation. Challenge us where we need to change our lifestyles. Convict us when we need to speak out, to amplify the voices of those who are so often ignored. Give us the courage to speak truth to power. Send us out to play our part in your work of restoring your world, healing broken relationships, working for justice and loving all people. Amen.
Please stand if you're able to.